Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the Abe TL Show. Trying to scarf down some lunch in the break. Sometimes I think I overestimate my ability to eat something in like a 4.5-5 minute span. And I thought that one would be easy. But I started looking stuff up online. I got distracted, and it took me a little while. But we are here and ready to roll. We mentioned it again. I don't know, this might be an Olympic thing. Maybe like I'm the only one interested in it, but Little League World Series, the championship game is about to get underway. So got that popped up on the TV, you know, got the preseason game between the Titans and the Saints out there. Spencer Rattler looking good again. A lot of people wondering just how long Mr. Carr out there is going to hold off Spencer Rattler. And that's obviously could be an injury situation more than anything else. I don't think he's just going to straight lose the job. But look, if the Falcons or the Bucs get off to a great start and the Saints are kind of middling and it season appears like it's taking the downturn, why not? Why not? So we'll see how that goes. I mean, the head coach there in New Orleans is desperate too. I don't see how he keeps his job. So we'll see how that goes. All right. Georgia Tech yesterday, they take down Florida State 24-21 on a last second 44-yard field goal. Aiden Burr, the kicker for Georgia Tech, who had missed a 51-yard attempt earlier, does drill the 44-yard winner. It was close to that left upright, but it was clearly in. So, very nice kick there. And a little bit of scary moments. It looked like Georgia Tech had sealed it up, was ready for a game-winning field goal. And then Haynes King had a fumbled snap. They lost about 10 yards, but they were able to get some of it back and set themselves up. I guess I will update those of you who maybe were listening to the Steakhouse on Friday. I was there with Drew Butler. Had some concerns about my mother's. We had a little birthday lunch for my mom. She turns. It's her birthday tomorrow. I won't say how old, but it's her birthday tomorrow, and she's going out of town. So we had a little birthday lunch at 11:40 a.m. at my brother's country club. And I'm like, yo, what's the etiquette here on putting this game on my phone and just watching it at my mom's birthday lunch? Like, how do we feel about this? But my mom said, go ahead. Like, she understands. Luckily, we were able to convince the country club people to put the game on the TV. And then one of the staff members there at Dunwoody Country Club said, I don't remember the last time this TV didn't have golf on it. And I took that as a point of pride. Like, they need to recognize. And I think this is an issue all over the city, by the way. And not really like a country club issue, but like, I can't tell you how many sports bars I've gone to and had to ask them to put a certain game on. I was like, yo, like, you're advertised as a sports bar. You guys need to know the Braves are starting at 7:20. I shouldn't have to come in here and tell you, like, can we get Bally's on or can we get TBS or Fox? Like, come on. Should be part of the, you know, part of the training. Knowing what sport. I actually had an idea for outsourcing, like a sports bar concierge, where I tell everyone throughout the day, like, what games are on today that people are going to care about and at what times. And what channel, for that matter. But so far, no one's hired me. So there you go. Anyways, back to Georgia Tech. I was able to watch the game, stayed through the first half, went home, and then, you know, watched the second half from home. A couple of things. We'll just run through the stats real quick. Haynes King, 11 of 16, 146 yards. Jamal Haynes, 2 rushing touchdowns. Backup quarterback Zach Pyron had a 3rd rushing touchdown earlier in the game. Look, you watch that game at the start, and Florida State marches right down the field, and it's one of those moments where you're like, uh-oh. Oh, boy, this could be a long day for Georgia Tech. I mean, the running, the holes were wide open to run through. And they had no issues, the Seminoles, going down and scoring. But, and I'd been saying this all week, I want to see the Georgia Tech offense because I don't buy that Florida State can stop them. And they got an immediate response. And they go down, right down the field. I would say tied up 7-7, but Florida State did that stupid 2-point conversion that ultimately didn't matter. And, But Georgia Tech had that immediate response. And from then on out, the confidence of Georgia Tech, especially up front, the offensive line, considering what Florida State was able to do a year ago, and look, you lose guys like Fisk and a couple of the other guys, Jared Verse, a couple of the other guys up front there, different ball game this year with the Florida State defensive line. I know Marvin Jones Jr. is still there. He had some impact, but different ball game. And so Georgia Tech did a great job adapting after that first drive, getting a couple stops, slowing down the Florida State run, and continue to do what they do on offense. And by the way, I don't think the Georgia Tech offense was at its best. I think they can be a little bit more efficient. They can be better. I think they can get the hands into some of their play, the ball into the hands of some of their playmakers a little bit better than they did. But they did more than enough to win that game. Now, I'll say this. I said that I don't buy Florida State as a top 10 team. And now you see why. I was concerned the defense would not be what it was last year. Through one game, it appears to not be. The D-line, we just talked about it, they got pushed around. And the biggest concern for me with Florida State is like, all right, so we bring in this big transfer quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, and he was a former 5-star. We know what he was supposed to be at Clemson. But he wasn't that at Clemson. He wasn't really that at Oregon State. Why are we just expecting that he's going to come to Florida State and be that? And so that's my biggest question. And when I look at some of the more talented teams in the country, and not suggesting necessarily that Florida State is one of them, but like when you look at Ohio State, is their transfer quarterback really what he's supposed to be? When you look at Miami, is that transfer quarterback really what he's supposed to be? When you look at Notre Dame, is that transfer quarterback really what he's supposed to be? When you look at Oregon, is the transfer quarterback really what he's supposed to be? I mean, you can go through a lot of these top programs. Some of those quarterbacks I believe in. I do believe in Dylan Gabriel. I do believe in, I'm totally blanking on the Notre Dame quarterback's name, Riley Leonard. I do believe in those guys. Cam Ward? I don't know. Will Howard? I don't know. DJU was one of those guys. I did not believe in him. And that's why. And so now you turn the page for Georgia Tech and you start to talk about what exactly could Georgia Tech accomplish this season. Look, if nothing else, they were always going to be a thorn in the sides of some of these teams. That's what they were last year. Can they be more this year? That's the question, and that's why I want to slow down the fans a little bit. And I'm not trying to rain on your parade. You absolutely deserve to enjoy and celebrate this win. Maybe calm down a little bit on can we win the ACC talk. Just for a little bit. Like, I'm going to have to see it more than once because we saw it last year. We saw Georgia Tech look like this here and there. The question is, can they reach this level consistently? We know they can reach this level. What they haven't shown is the ability to do it week in, week out. I want to see the Yellow Jackets repeat this effort all season long. And then also, let's not ride on the idea that we took down a top 10 team. Let's find out what Florida State is, too. This is a Florida State team that ends up 7-5. I don't know if we're all pounding our chests and look at what we did to them in Ireland. You're happy about it. You're pleased with it, as you should be. You're proud of it. You took down a powerhouse. Sure. Let's also just wait to find out exactly what that powerhouse is. I have really high hopes for Georgia Tech this season. I mentioned it quite a bit. I think they can be a factor in the ACC. I don't know if they're going to be winning the conference. We'll see. We'll find out. They're the only team that's undefeated right now with a win. Oh, that's not true. I guess SMU does, but not a conference win. And so we'll find out. But if nothing else, the teams better be awake to play Georgia Tech. I think the offense can be better than what it was yesterday. Maybe a little bit of credit to Florida State defensively. And a little bit of it's still our first game and we're figuring some stuff out. I think the offense could be better than it was. The exciting thing for Yellow Jackets fans, to me, and a good, you're dealing with a sample size, who knows. The run defense looked a little bit better than most would have thought it would be. Because you expected Florida State to be able to run the ball, or at least try to. Supposed to be the strength of their offense. And look, maybe Georgia Tech adjusted to a lot more run-stopping focus. I know there were a number of run blitzes in there. Because DJU wasn't going to beat you. Did you see how many passes for DJU were like 5 yards and shorter? Like, it was all day. And he's just not throwing the ball down the field. And Florida State's not going to win games in the ACC doing that. And so we'll see what happens there with DJU. That's why, though. That's why I said Florida State, like, if they're a top 10 team, we'll know it. Like, they'll show it. But I don't buy it. I won't believe it until I see it. And DJU was the single biggest reason I had hesitation about Florida State. And coming up later, we're going to talk Braves next, but coming up later, I want to talk about other college football teams that maybe I don't buy just yet. And we talked about it. Like, it's not that they're not. It's not that I'm positive that they are not that team or this team. It's that I need to see it first. My confidence level in Florida State wasn't that I know for a fact they're not good enough, they should not be top 10. No, it wasn't necessarily that. It was that I had enough questions that I wanted to see it first. Well, I didn't see it from Florida State. There are a couple of other teams that I need to see it from before I really start to anoint them and crown them. We'll talk about that at 3:40, but I do want to discuss the Atlanta Braves. It is a huge week coming up for the Atlanta Braves. They are playing two teams that are currently in the playoffs, and one of those series could decide whether you're a wild card or whether you're a division champ. We're going to talk about that on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. It is the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here, the Abe TL Show. Hanging out, Eric Slaughter with me as well. Feel free to join the conversation on Twitter, at Abe Gordon, on X, whatever you want to call it. At Abe Gordon there. Now, I got a couple people yelling at me for a variety of reasons. Some frustration with the Braves, certainly. Going to get into that in just a moment. A little bit of questioning the Falcons and you know, this is what we talked about earlier. I just am not going to find it in me to fake outrage my way through a discussion of the Falcons' final preseason game. Like, I'm not. I don't care. It's not fun to get drubbed, I guess. But, like, all right, let's also recognize what impact that really had on week one, or what the Falcons can be this season. And when the answer is none, next to none, as close to none as you could possibly. Remember in math class you had that graph where there was a theoretical curved line that would come close to zero down the road but would never actually cross it? I used to be pretty good at math, so maybe that just what sticks out in my head. It's not parallel, but it will never actually intersect the axis. You guys remember that? That's what Friday's preseason game was. Like, yeah, I guess it's not completely zero, but, I mean, it's as close to zero and we'll never intersect it. But, like, that's how much that game impacted the season in the Atlanta Falcons. And it doesn't bother me. No one wants to be part of a 31-0 loss, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm disgusted and outraged and looking for answers. Nah, like, you played who you're going to play, and that's the result. We move forward. We're on to week one, and that's my mindset. And if those annoying little Steelers would go ahead and announce Russell Wilson, we can be, like, fully loaded on to week one. But I guess we have to wait for them to say Russell Wilson's the quarterback, even though we know Russell Wilson. Like, if I'm Raheem. Like, I'm just prepping already for Russell Wilson. And then if they somehow surprise and throw us Justin Fields. And look, to some extent, you probably have to prepare for both because there's certainly some opportunities for maybe both of them to get in there and play. So there you go. All right, the Braves had an opportunity to go for the sweep today. They did not. Well, they went for it, but they did not complete the sweep. They do win the series. It is a successful homestand because you also took a couple from the Phillies earlier in the homestand as well. And so pretty good homestand, and now you wait word on Michael Harris. And for those of you who don't have Roku, maybe did not hear earlier, Michael Harris was hit by a pitch in the first inning. He stayed in the game through the fourth, but at the top of the fifth inning, Jared Kelnick replaced him defensively in center field. And so precautionary is what they're calling it, and they're doing the full workup on Michael Harris. But certainly nervous moments there, as obviously Harris just got back from a long stint injured. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't say, I'm also a little worried about Marcell Ozuna, to be honest. He fouled a ball off his shin or ankle foot and finished the at-bat, but did seem quite bothered by it. So, obviously, we need Marcell Ozuna to be okay. He has been a guy that has carried the Atlanta Braves without question for good portions of this season and potentially is, I guess, in the MVP discussion. We talked about this the other day. I would vote him as MVP if the Braves make the playoffs, but certainly understand why Shohei is going to most likely win this thing. It's a big week. It's a real big week for the Braves. You got a road series against the Twins, three games, and then you got a four-game set up in Philadelphia. And it's one of those things where, you know, you look at it, and depending on how this goes, you might not just be playing for a wild card. Maybe you are playing for the division, and we'll see how that goes. You got to handle the business first, though, and that's part of this. You cannot get caught looking ahead to a series against the Phillies and let the Twins handle business up in Minnesota. This is a very good Twins team. They're right in the battle in the AL Central. They're currently slotted in as an AL wildcard spot. The Cleveland Guardians with a two-game lead there in the AL Central. And so you can't mess around and look ahead to the Phillies. You got to handle business against the Twins. You got to take at least two or three in this one. And I'll say this. Outings like yesterday from Charlie Morton, that's going to have to be how this team finds win streaks, how they get on a roll and stay on a roll. Like, excluding today, coming into today, the Braves had won six of their last seven games. Four of those wins, they scored three or less runs. One of those wins in which they scored four runs. And so there's no denying the pitching had been carrying this offense, the bullpen as well, but starting pitching's been great. And that's why I you know, as frustrating as a season as it's been, as down as we might be from the injuries, and again, potentially another one here with Michael Harris, there's still an opportunity for the Braves to get to the playoffs and make some noise. And I say that because the starting pitching has carried them all year. It can carry them in the playoffs. I don't know how far or to what extent. But I'm not sitting here like, boy, I'd almost rather not make the playoffs because the Braves stand no chance. Like, I don't feel that way. It's going to be about the pitching, though. There's no doubt about that. The Braves began today 2.5 games ahead of the Mets for the final NL wildcard spot. That is now down to two based on the Braves' loss. And the Mets will be playing the Padres later today. Braves were also five games behind the Phillies. That's now 5.5 with the Braves loss. Could become six if the Phillies hold on. Right now they are up 3-1 in the middle stages of that game. So that's a lead that could become six. And look, you never know where it might be entering those four games. It wouldn't be the first time we've seen the Braves go on the road and sweep an NL opponent and change the scope of the division. And now I don't believe that these Phillies are as choke-oriented as the Mets a couple years ago, but the Braves went in and swept the Mets, and that pretty much ended the division. And there's opportunities now to do that again, so we'll see how that goes. I'm until proven otherwise, at least for me, I'm not really focused on the Phillies. I'm not looking at what's ahead of us. I am focused on what's behind us. And maybe you can say that I'm playing scared or whatever, but I'm just trying to get in, and I'm just making sure that they can get in, the Braves. And I'm looking more on the Mets, and they're chasing us down. But I will say this, that series up in Philly could change things. That could change how I look at some of these things. So that's what's going on with the Braves. Again, Michael Harris certainly is the big news. We wait to hear the outcome of that MRI. And then, look, here's the other aspect of this. Because people have been kind of asking the question since it happened. What about Jason Hayward? I mean, are you going to bring Eli White back up? Or would you consider adding Jason Hayward? And this is a caveat of if Michael Harris goes down. And if Michael Harris is going to be out, would you add Jason Hayward? At that point, I would. Like, I think you had to ask the question. It's like, all right, it's Hayward or Duvall. Like, let's break it down. Is there really the big benefit of Hayward? Is there a big difference? Do you want to mess with this, mess with that? If Harris is out and you have the spot, and it's between signing Hayward for whatever deal it would take and, like, bringing Eli White back, I'm in favor of it. And so I'm now looking at that as a much more serious possibility. Obviously, I'd like to not have to have that discussion. If we're being honest, I don't want to discuss the possibility because that means that Michael Harris is out again. I'm hoping that it was more precautionary than anything. Maybe he's got to sit out tomorrow or maybe not even that. Hopeful for Michael Harris, who just returned, that is not the case after being hit by pitch in the first inning. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll look for the news, and it goes both ways. We'll look for news of Michael Harris, and I guess, in coordination with that, we'll look for news of Jason Hayward. Mark Bowman just tweeted out about Ozuna. I mentioned he had fouled off a ball into the lower portion of his leg. Said he has an ice wrap just below his knee, but says that he is fine and that he expects to play tomorrow. And certainly the Braves, that would have been a loss that you cannot afford because he has carried this team for such a large portion of the season. He's got help here and there. But, man, there's a reason Ozuna is in this MVP discussion at all, which is kind of crazy because now we're going to slide to what Shohei Ohtani's been doing. He hits the 40-40 club, a dramatic walk-off grand slam. Opportunity to hit 50-50, right? I mean, you still got, 5 weeks left in the season? And so we'll see if Ohtani could get 50-50 potentially. And look, I'm not trying to discredit Ohtani at all. I still think what Ronald Acuna Jr. did last year is equally, if not more, impressive. But Ohtani does become the fastest member to 40-40 and could potentially become the first to 50-50. So we'll see how that goes. Aaron Judge, earlier today, speaking of 50-50, well, he doesn't have 50 steals, but he did club his 50th home run. And you're looking at it, what did I just say? We had 5 weeks in the MLB season, something like that, right? It takes you pretty much all the way to the end of September. He's got 50 bombs right now. He's still got a month left to play. He's probably got 32, 33 games, just to guess without looking at how many games they have. Maybe just over 30 games. Could Aaron Judge repeat with another 62 or more home run season? It's possible. It's certainly possible. And if that's the case, I mean, just one of the two most impressive back-to-back seasons that we've ever seen. You know, we could talk about what Sosa did. We could talk about what McGuire or Barry Bonds have done, but I think we all know where that conversation leads, if you get my drift. But for Aaron Judge to come in and potentially hit 60 home runs in back-to-back seasons would be one of the more impressive accomplishments, really, in my baseball lifetime in terms of watching it. And I very impressed with his ability. And there are people in New York say he's not even locked in yet, which that's its own level of scary. If he gets locked in, maybe he can come up towards 63, 64, 65 perhaps. So we'll keep an eye on that. But again, big week for the Atlanta Braves. Reportedly, Ozuna is going to be okay, according to Mark Bowman. And we await word on Michael Harris. And I guess in coordination with that, we may be await word on Jason Hayward as well. But again, you cannot get caught looking ahead. We talk about this with every team and every sport. It's a four-game series in Philadelphia. We understand that. You cannot get caught looking ahead. The Minnesota Twins are a good team. They can knock you off. And look, if you drop a couple to the Twins, I don't know how much that four-game series is going to matter. At least certainly not in terms of trying to chase down the Phillies, which, again, I'm still focused on the Mets. Maybe you feel differently. I'm looking backwards. You guys look forward. That's totally fine. If you drop a couple to the Twins here before you face the Phillies, you can forget about them. You can forget about looking ahead, and you definitely want to be focused on what's behind. The Royals, by the way, just cut the Phillies lead in two. It is now a one-run lead for the Phillies, 3-2, still middle stages of that ball game. You got three or four innings left to play there. All right, when we come back, we talked about it with Florida State. I explained why I didn't buy them as a top 10 team. There are a couple other teams that right now I just don't buy. And again, not saying they're not, just saying I need to see it first. We'll go through that list. If you guys have any as well, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Abe Gordon. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. It's the Abe TL Show until 5 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. You know, I thought we had seen the craziest preseason play when the Raiders and 49ers got together the other night and tried like a Hail Mary lateral type play at the very end to hopefully try and break a 24-24 tie, and ultimately it came up short and they did not. I think the play to end the half between Titans and Saints just kind of topped it. I don't know if you guys saw it. If you didn't, I would urge you to find it on Twitter at some point. Maybe I'll retweet it here in just a moment. But to end the first half, the Titans were looking at a 58-yard field goal, and the Saints put Samson Nakua back deep to pick six this thing. Or excuse me, to kick six this thing. My apologies. And he runs 106 yards and gets bumped out at the two. I mean, just devastating stuff. Devastating to not use your blockers properly and all that stuff. Run all that distance. And again, this was the end of the half. They don't get the ball at the two now and can run a play. This was it. And out at the two, and we head to the locker rooms. That's a tough go, but pretty wild play to watch him return that thing, and then it looked like maybe he had a step, and the angle gets tight, and it just couldn't power it through. So tough break there, but pretty fun play to watch as it was unfolding, and fun to watch in replays as well. All right. I talked about it earlier. The Florida State thing. And look, what I'm about to say here has nothing to do with Georgia Tech, okay? I'm not discrediting Georgia Tech at all. I think that it's an outstanding win. Fans should be happy. They should be proud. They should celebrate within reason. I don't think we're jumping straight to we're the best team in the ACC yet, which I know some fans have done already. I give you a little bit of pause there because we saw a little bit of this from Georgia Tech last year. I want to see a lot of it this year. I want to see the consistency to rise and play at that level. But I mentioned it with Florida State as well. I had a lot of questions about them. Going into this game, I was not confident that they were a top 10 team. For a variety of reasons, I did not buy Florida State without having seen it. I wasn't sitting here and saying there's no way they're a top 10 team. Get them out of here. They shouldn't even be ranked. Like, no. I'm saying I don't know if I buy them as a top 10 team. I got to see it. Okay? Well, I saw it, and now I don't buy them as the top 10 team, which is not a huge surprise. It's kind of what I thought. I didn't trust DJU. That was among the biggest issues, but it also became clear that the D-line is not up to par for them to be one of the best teams in the country. So who else don't I buy? And again, before I go through this list, let me remind you. This is not a statement of this team has no business being ranked there. This is, I'm not sure yet because I need to see a thing or two before I agree. All right? Does everyone understand the difference here? I'm not saying they're not, but I'm also not saying they are. I just want to see it first. The first one for me is Oregon at number three. I do trust the quarterback, Dylan Gabriel. I do trust the coach, Dan Lanning. And I think on those two things alone, you could probably put them pretty close to this discussion. But they lost a lot on offense. And so I just want to see some of their offensive playmakers do what they're supposed to do. Because obviously for Oregon to be in this discussion, they need to be one of the best offensive teams in the country like they were last year. And the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. I just want to see it. That's all. I think they're a very good team. Am I ready to say that they're third best team in the country and are in the discussion along with Georgia and Texas and Ohio State as the national champ contenders? Oh, I got to see that first. Again, not saying they're not, just saying I want to see it. Notre Dame at number seven. I think they can be good, but how good? I do like Riley Leonard. I got to see the defense, though. They're going to need to have a top 10, top 12 defense for them to be a top 10 team. And so we got to see it first. I know they got a couple of prospective preseason All-Americans. We'll see how that works out. Number nine, Michigan, is one of the ones that not only do I have to see it, I'll straight out say I don't know if I buy it. Questions at quarterback, lost way too much talent on both sides of the ball. I don't know if Sherrone Moore is the guy or not. We'll see. I think it's a bigger drop for Michigan than just number nine. I don't know if they're still a top 10 team. We're going to have to see it. Again, it's the Abe TL show. Abe Gordon here. Going down a couple of teams that maybe remind me of Florida State in a little bit. I had questions about whether Florida State deserved to be a top 10 team. Not that they weren't, but I needed to see it first. And like, it's really not as much that like I don't buy it or I'm right about these teams and everyone else is wrong. It's just that I want to see it. And so I need to see it from Oregon. I need to see it from Notre Dame. I need to see it from Michigan. I need to see it from Missouri. Like, Brady Cook and Luther Burden might be the best quarterback wide receiver combo in the SEC. I think losing Schrader should not be overstated because they leaned on him quite a bit last year. I wonder if that defense can deliver again for a second straight year because you're not sneaking up on anyone this year. Like half the year last year, everyone's like, oh, look, Missouri's off to a nice start. How interesting. No, like everyone's aware now. You're not sneaking up on anyone. You're getting everyone's best shot. And you're going to have to bring it. And I'm interested to see how they handle that. Tennessee as well. 15th ranked Tennessee. Nico Leva, the five-star quarterback. Is he able to deliver? And again, this goes back into I just need to see it. Like, I'm never going to trust a quarterback I haven't seen to make that big of a difference. They've got some playmakers alongside of them. But you're telling me this guy is like the guy in all of college football, the next guy. I just need to see it first. Oklahoma, number 16, right behind them. Are they truly ready to deal with the SEC week in, week out? I'm not so sure. I still have concerns at the quarterback position as well. They're going to have to prove me wrong about the quarterback. So we'll see there. Oklahoma State at 17. One of the last two teams that I need to see it from. Is it just all on Ollie Gordon? Like, is that's what we're doing? Because I don't know if Alan Bowman can pick up the slack. And we saw games last year where Ollie Gordon took over and handled business and Oklahoma State won. We also saw games where Ollie Gordon disappeared and they struggled quite a bit. And Alan Bowman isn't going to make the difference up. So we're going to have to wait and see on Oklahoma State. And then the final one is Cam Ward in Miami, number 19. Is Cam Ward legit? Like, I never for a second bought all this, all that off-season hype for him. Like, the premise of he's the top quarterback out the portal, and maybe he'll go to the NFL draft. And like, what, they have like 4 wins last year? And I know that's not all his fault. But I look, Miami's got the talent around him, right? That's what we keep being told. But I'm not buying him the same reason I didn't buy DJU. The same reason I don't necessarily buy Will Howard. You got plenty of talent on these teams. The quarterback's going to be the difference, and if he's not that guy, then they're not going to be that team. Look, I've said it before here, on air, off air, 92.9 The Game here. I think Ohio State has more talent than anyone in the country, including Georgia. Here's the problem. That upper echelon talent might not include the quarterback position. I think man for man, and you guys could feel differently, that's fine. Man for man, I think I would trade Georgia's starting offense minus the quarterback and Georgia's starting defense minus the quarterback. But the difference is that quarterback. And if Will Howard is just okay, if he's just a guy, Ohio State's not the best team in the country. If Will Howard is one of the 3 or 4 best quarterbacks in the Big Ten, maybe they are. And I feel the same way about Cam Ward and Miami. Like, I think Miami's got plenty of talent. They have as much talent as Clemson or as Florida State or NC State or whatever team you want to name. But obviously, Tyler Van Dyke couldn't bring it out last year. What makes me think Cam Ward can bring it out this year? And so those are the teams that I just need to see it. Again, I'm not questioning whether or not they completely belong there. I'm just not buying in yet. I want to see it. And then I tried to think of the flip side of this. Are there the opposite? Teams that I buy, that I believe in, that maybe others don't? I think there are teams that, kind of like Georgia Tech a year ago, I could see causing problems. I don't know if there's like really a team that I trust that isn't getting enough chatter. I think there's really interesting squads. I think Syracuse and former Georgia assistant Fran Brown is going to be very interesting. And remember, Kyle McCord, who was at Ohio State, is their new quarterback. And they got an influx of talent in a big way. I'm not saying they're going to go win the Big Ten. They're not. But I'm interested to see how much trouble they can cause and kind of follow their path, too. I'm interested in Utah. But I have a question. Cam Rising's got to make it through a season. If he's not healthy, we saw what they were last year. So there's a couple of teams I'm interested in. I wouldn't say anyone's just getting like massively overlooked, at least not right now. If anyone, maybe it is Georgia Tech. It's a little unfair because we've seen them. But I'll tell you what, and this goes back to that game yesterday in Dublin, Ireland. I don't even think that was the best Georgia Tech we'll see. I think their offense can be more. I think they can do a better job getting the ball into the hands of some of their playmakers. I don't think that was the best Georgia Tech we'll see. And so I am excited for that. I do caution you. Let's slow down before we put them into the contenders among the ACC elite. I need to see that effort a little bit more often. But we'll see. I think they have the talent. I think they have the coaching. I think they have the mindset. We've seen them rise to that level. I just want to see it consistently. It is Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show. If you want to get involved, you either agree or disagree. Usually it's disagree, obviously. And want to get a message to me, do so on Twitter, at Abe Gordon. We got 1 hour left to go here. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to come back and go outside the perimeter. Talk about some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. And then at 4:20, Elijah Pierce, the Wolf, pro boxer, who's going to be fighting in the main event on Friday night at Atlantic Station, the OTE Arena, OTX Boxing going down. We're going to be joined in studio by Elijah Pierce. Looking forward to that one. So still a lot more to come here. In the final hour, it is the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.